Thank you for the joy that we can know as we realise that you are with us. And as we enter into this season of the year where the focus is on you coming as a human to reconcile and rescue us, we pray that you would remind, refresh and transform us, that we may know more and more of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just continuing on to week three of our Advent series, and it's just been a great series in which we've been able to look at God with us. God with us. The last couple of weeks we've been focusing on it. We're continuing on this week, and it's been based around the passage in Matthew 1, verse 23. And we've repeated this over the last few weeks. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him, who? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. We sing songs about Emmanuel. It simply means that God came to be amongst us. And these last few weeks we've been focusing on how God is with us through different stages of life. For example, week one, which was 2 weeks ago, we looked at how God can be with us in the valleys. We may, of course, enjoy God when we're on the mountaintops and everything's going really well, but we talked about the fact that we get to know God intimately when we're in the valleys, those dark and difficult places. We get to know him intimately. Last week, we looked at how God can be with us in the wilderness, that in the wilderness, God whispers to us. And we explored last week, why does God appear to whisper? The reason why he whispers is because he's close. He's with us. And today, we're going to be looking at God with us in the storms. Now, it seems quite ironic this week as I've been developing this sermon. All the talk has been about Cyclone Owen, and it was a cyclone, and then it wasn't a cyclone, and then it got into the Gulf of Carpentaria, and it became a cyclone again, and now it's ramped up again, and it's hitting the... Now, the last I heard is that, no, it's not now a cyclone. Is that right? Owen was Owen, now it wasn't Owen. Now, Owen is no longer Owen, it's just a... And I guess with anticipation, we wait, what does that mean for us? And I think we've been hanging out for, you know, volumes of rain for the last few days, and humidity to the eyeballs, but no rain. Storms, literal storms happen. We know about that in this area here, but we also can get storms in life. And I remember someone used to regularly say this to me. You're either coming out of a storm, or you are in the middle of a storm, or there's a storm around the corner. I think anybody, and we're not talking about the literal meteorological storm, but storms of life, you're either in the middle of one, you've just come out of one, or it seems like there's one just around the corner. I think all of us could testify to that. In other words, life can be very difficult. Storms can make life challenging. For those up in northern Queensland at the moment, Cyclone Owen is making life rather difficult. Wind and rain. It wouldn't take much for us to remember. It was less than 2 years ago when the remnants of Cyclone Debbie came down and hit us and caused a massive amount of devastation here in Lismore and other areas up and down the coast. I was doing a bit of research this week, and I thought, why is it that we call cyclones by name? Cyclone Debbie. Now, I apologise for all of the Debbies out there who have had to cop the brunt of being associated to a cyclone that caused so much damage. And I also became aware that they name them after every people's names. Why is it that they only name cyclones after people's names? Why don't they name other events, particularly events that occur in our own life? Why wouldn't you call something like Influenza Ian? Or Hangover Helen. Apologies, Helen, that was the only H I could come up with. Or Diarrhea Diana, or something like that. Oh, there's Di, sorry. Why don't we call other events by names? Why is it just cyclones? Now, I read that back in the early 1900s, Queensland meteorologists started to name the cyclones after Roman and Greek mythological names. And so they started to name them after these Greek names. And then when the government failed to appoint the head of this meteorologist into the Federal Weather Bureau, and he didn't get the job, he started naming cyclones after politicians. And whether that's just anecdotal or whatever, the trend is that when an event like this happens, you've got to give it a name, you've got to identify it. You've got to identify, and what would happen is if the event was bad enough, that name of that cyclone would never be used again. So the intent is, for example, Cyclone Tracy, there will never be another Cyclone Tracy. Or I imagine Cyclone Debbie, because of the destruction that these cyclones have caused. But some of you are in the middle of a storm now, and you're tempted to name that storm, whether it's a relational storm or a financial storm or a health storm, a divorce storm, a conflict storm. And the danger is that what we do is we start to blame God for the cause of this storm. Why does God allow these storms to occur in our life? And so I'm going to bring a key thought for today that I think is pertinent to what we're going to be speaking about today, and that is this. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. And so today we're going to be looking at, well, it really is a literal physical storm in the Bible, but we're going to look at how God revealed himself in that situation. So we're going to be looking at a great little story in Acts 27. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me. Acts 27. And in this particular chapter, at the very back end of Acts, the Apostle Paul has been arrested, and he is, as a prisoner, heading to Rome, or heading to Italy, as a prisoner, to have his fate sorted out. And we read that there's this massive storm that erupts out in the Mediterranean, and you can imagine for a lot of these seamen on large boats in the Mediterranean, they would have been used to certain storms. But we hear in Acts 27 that massive storm went on for days and days, and the crew were so scared that they started throwing cargo overboard. And the storm was so big they thought they were going to die. So this is no ordinary, this is just a blow-in, a bit of wind and a bit of waves. This is huge, that experienced sailors were scared for their life. And we pick up the story in verse 20. Acts 27 verse 20. When neither the sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. It just gives the impression that this storm will just not stop. It is relentless. It seems to go on forever. You've been in those storms where the wind and the rain just keeps going, and you're waiting for it to peter out, and it just keeps going and going. It builds up again, pulls back, and it just keeps going. But I think in our lives we have other kinds of storms that just seem to go on forever. And you ask that question, can I survive what's going on in my life right now? Can I survive this storm? Can my marriage survive this storm? Can I climb out of debt? Can we as parents ever conceive? It just seems like we've been going on for years and years and years. Can I really beat this health challenge? Will I ever beat cancer? And we can have these storms that just go on and on and on, like the storm in this story in Acts 27. We continue on in verse 21. After they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood before them and said, "Men, You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would not have spared your, then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. Remember, Paul is a prisoner on a boat. It seems quite presumptuous that Paul, a prisoner on a boat, could stand up and point the finger. Don't you just want to hit him? Oh, Paul, what are you saying here? He's saying that certain people have made decisions that have allowed them to be in this particular situation. It's a dangerous thing to say as a prisoner, really, isn't it? He's saying you're in a storm because certain people made decisions. Many don't want to take responsibility, and so when we get in our own storms of life, we like to blame other people. We like to blame God. It's the old classic thing, it's the devil's fault. You know, it's the devil's fault that I'm in the situation I'm in. It's the devil's fault that I'm in this difficult financial situation. It's the devil's fault that I've got into this conflict with people. And yet for many of us, we're in a storm because of our own making, because of the decisions that we have made. You might be in a storm because you spent too much money. You might be in a storm because you didn't eat healthily. You might be in a storm because you avoid making a particular decision. And at times, we simply need to acknowledge, I'm in a storm because it's my fault. I've got no one else to blame but myself because of the decisions that I have made. But do you ever think about this? In a large boat like this, you'd have a captain and you'd have the workers and you'd have the prisoners and you'd have others. At the end of the day, it would have been the captain's decision to sail. And so there would have been many others in the boat who would say, well, I had no choice. We sailed. The captain made the decision. And it can be like that in our own lives as well, that we can be in a storm, not of our own making, but it's just where we are at the time. As a child, your parents divorced. Someone close to you let you down. Someone lied to you. And so it goes on. Whatever the case, whether it's our fault or someone else's fault, that we are in the storm that we are in, what can we learn in this? And I'll say this again. Never allow the presence of a storm, whether it's a self-inflicted storm or a storm brought to you by someone else, never allow the presence of that storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. And this is what Paul said, verse 22 onwards. He said, but now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Paul is essentially saying, in the middle of this massive storm, so large that these experienced sailors thought they were going to die, Paul is saying, we are not alone. And he comforts those around him, and we also need comfort. And how does he comfort them? He basically says that the presence of God came amongst us. He talks about an angel coming and visiting. I think one of the great comforting thoughts is to know that there are angels all around us. The Bible says that we have the presence of angels. There are angels in this room right now. Don't get spooked by it all. This is part of the presence of God, that he will appoint certain beings to be with us for his particular duty in order to bring about his purpose in us and in the world. Right here, right now. So be comforted to know that that is what is happening in this realm that we can never get our head around, the ones that we can't see. But even more importantly, not only are there angels in the room, but God's own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, is here right now. Not just hovering around, sort of looking down. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, where is the Holy Spirit? In you. you can't get much more present than within you yourself. Servants of God, angels around, God's own Spirit right within you now. How wonderful is that? And there's so many ways that God brings his presence. I was reminded in 2 Timothy, Mari, bless you, Mari, you talked about Timothy. Timothy was sort of an apprentice of Paul. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we've got it up here, Paul is writing to Timothy, this young apprentice, and he said, "At my first defence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May that not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." What gave Paul strength? You prepare for anything in church? I wasn't prepared for Thomas the Tank Engine. Anyway. God gave Paul strength with his presence. And if you're in a storm, let me tell you, you need to know that. You need to know that the Lord is by your side. You need to know that God's Spirit is with you in all of this. He has not left you. You know, I think one of the fascinating other stories, and some of you sort of thought, we're going to talk about a storm. I know what one it's going to be. It's going to be that story in the Gospel when the disciples and Jesus were in the boat. Many of the disciples also were experienced fishermen, and they're out in the middle of the lake, and a storm brews, and the storm was so massive that they all thought they were going to die. Here's the interesting thing. They thought they were going to die, and where was Jesus? He was asleep in the boat. God with them. They were scared because I don't think they fully comprehended what it meant by the presence of God with them. And it's only when they woke up Jesus full of fear that they were all going to die. Think about that too. That would mean Jesus would die as well. They got scared. They called him and he responded and calmed the storm. And they were at peace because Jesus saved them. How much greater is it when we're in the middle of the storm, we know that Jesus is with us, that we can have the comfort of knowing that he is with us and that he is able at any time to do whatever is necessary. That we don't have to fear, even if the storm is raging, to know that Jesus is with us. He is with us in the storm. So I think the problem for the disciples wasn't so much that they forgot about Jesus. They only had faith in what Jesus could do for them. And if Jesus did good stuff for them, then they would have faith in him. They didn't have the faith that Jesus in his presence was enough. Jesus is with us. He brought peace over those disciples. And so therefore I could bring another key point and say this. Real peace is not found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. And I see so often that what happens is that people are looking for peace. They're looking for whatever way they can find to get rid of the storm. And once the storm is gone, then I'll have peace. What we find out is that peace is only found in the presence of Jesus. Real peace is not found in a trouble-free life. If you're looking just for a trouble-free life and looking for peace in that, you'll always be in a roller coaster because there'll always be another storm that's coming around the corner. Peace is found in the knowledge that is the presence of Jesus. Jesus himself said this in John 16, verse 33. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that you, that in me you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There will be trouble, but you can have peace. I'm not going to take away the trouble so you can have peace. In the midst of trouble, when you know me, you can know peace in the midst of trouble, in the midst of a storm. So when we're in the midst of a storm, don't look for the absence of the storm, look for the presence of Jesus. Let's go back to the story. Verse 23. "Last night, an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. In other words, what God is saying to Paul, he's saying, I've got this. I'm in control. I haven't finished with you. There's a purpose in the storm. This storm didn't surprise God. One day it will pass. And you can look back and you can see God's hand all the way through it. And I am sure for those of you who have been a follower of Jesus for a number of years, you can look back over certain storms in life and you can see God's hand, can't you? You can see that God was faithful. He didn't let you go. And he used the storm for a purpose. I'm always intrigued as we look back over the Lismore flood of March 2017, and it was a really challenging time for Lismore and the community and other communities up and down the coast. And we wouldn't want another one of those floods, would we? But one of the things as you look back over all of that, how God worked in that community through really difficult times to pull a community together, to work together in order to help one another, those who have been affected. And I believe that the quality of people have risen as a result of that flood because of the need to work together. A sense of community has been strengthened because of that. God works through literal storms. God works through the storms in our life. Verse 25, continuing on. Paul says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Don't you love the next bit? Nevertheless, we must run aground on an island. You're hoping I'm going to say, I'm going to... Now, we're not in a trouble-free world. These things can happen. And it may not turn out the way that we imagine. Now imagine for Paul, he's a prisoner, you know, facing his fate in Italy. He actually saw it as a bit of a diversion. Great, we're stranded on an island. And as a result of being stranded on this island, Malta, there was actually the opportunity for the gospel, Paul, to share the gospel with the locals there as well. So even though it wasn't as planned, God used that tragic situation, that really difficult storm, in order to continue to bring about his purposes. The faith was not to be built in the boat. Faith was not to be in the circumstances. Faith is only in the Creator, the sovereign God, the one who commands the storms. The key is we can't control storms. We can't control what people say. We can't control what people say about us. We can't control what people do to you. There is one thing that you can control, and that is, where am I going to place my faith? In Psalm 46, verses 1 through to 3, the writer says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the waters, fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, even if I lose my job, even if my marriage fails, even if that health scare becomes more real, if the cancer returns, I will not be shaken. No matter what that storm may be in my life, God is my refuge and my strength. I'm going to have peace in the presence of Jesus in my life, not in the absence of trouble. So how do I base my confidence in the midst of a storm? I'll say it again. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us, the presence of Jesus. No matter what storm you are in right now, no matter what storm is just around the corner, you can have the confidence of knowing God with us in the midst of that storm. He will never let you go. True peace is not found in the absence of storms. True peace is found in Emmanuel. Will you join with me as we just pause for a moment? As the worship team make their way up the front, I just want to say, Heavenly Father, you know every individual in this room. You know what is going on in their life, and the storms that are evident right now, or the storms that are brewing, or the difficulties just around the corner. And we can have the confidence of knowing, whatever that may be, that is not because you have left us. These storms will occur because we're living in a broken world. And we are so thankful that these storms are not just accidents or just things we need to endure, but actually that you will bring about your purposes in these storms to sanctify us, to renew us, to refresh us, to build us up. And I just want to pray, Heavenly Father, for whatever it is may be in our life, that we may rest in the knowledge that you are with us in the storm. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us, for you are our refuge and our strength. And I want to pray, Heavenly Father, over these next few days and weeks and months, that we will be attuned to your presence. That when these things blindside us and come from left field, that we will go, yes, thank you, you are still with us. Give me strength to endure this storm, and give me the peace to know that you have never left me. You love me too much for that. Strengthen us, Heavenly Father, that we'll know that there is no one else except Jesus who can give us this peace. No one but you. None but Jesus. Let's stand.